Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
This hour of the Trevor Carey Show is powered by Energy Concepts.
If you vote for Biden, it means no kids in school, no graduations, no weddings, no Thanksgiving, no Christmas, and no 4th of July together. Other than that, you have a wonderful life. Can't see anybody, but that's all right. You have a wonderful life. He wants everyone to, and it's not really, again, it's not him. I'm using this, but it's not him.
Trevor Carey.
I'm willing to fight.
Trevor Carey Show.
And I'm a
go-down swinger. Trevor Carey. Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Let's go!
He promised over the course of the campaign in the last few weeks that it was going to happen, and the numbers came out today, and certainly it looks like it has happened. 33.1% GDP growth. That is an American record. The campaign saying a short time ago in a statement, this record economic growth is absolute validation of President Trump's policies, which create jobs and opportunities for Americans in every corner of the country. The president built the world's greatest economy once, then he's rapidly doing it again.
Yeah. I hope it's a landslide. My gut tells me it has to be a landslide. There's an awakening going on across America because the Democrat Party's embrace of all this violence that's still on display night after night. It's rightfully unnerving to Americans of all colors. You know, you're going to call this man a racist, President Trump, for everything he does or says. And Americans might start to look for themselves. Is he really a racist? And when they do, they see a man that's reached out in many ways that even Obama never even attempted. That's why Ice Cube, many others that are not famous like Ice Cube, have had an awakening. Kind of like I guess I did with George W. Bush in 2005. I know many of you still like the Trump hater, but it was difficult to take a stand against the recently reelected president when it came to other Republicans. Mind you, I just signed on with my new talk career on a station that had Rush Limbaugh on it. It was a conservative talk station. And I was anti-Bush. I didn't believe in the war. And he wasn't doing anything about illegal immigration either. You know, when he campaigned in 99, he said he wasn't going to nation build. Go around the world and get involved in everybody else's business. I like that. That's why I voted for him. That's why I campaigned for him in 2000. Hanging door hangers. But, hey, I was involved, got the kids involved with it. I remember in 2006, I did a march to save America with my talk show. 12 people showed up. 3 of them were from the station. So it's really 9 people showed up. So that's why when 2 weeks ago, it was 2 weeks ago today, I guess, Thursday, right? Was that last week? That wasn't 2 weeks ago? Look at that. It's COVID time. That's why last week when 500 ballots were dropped off, down at the Trump Monument, that was really rewarding and encouraging. That was a lot more than 9 people to come out to help save this country. Maurice Davis, you don't know who he is. Many know who Ice Cube is. Many don't know who Maurice Davis is. Well, he's one of these that have, he's waking up to what's going on. He's a lifelong Democrat. He's the vice president of the Flint, Michigan City Council. And let's go listen to him endorse the president.
People are losing everything. And when Mr. Trump said, "What the hell you got to lose?" he was talking to me. He was not talking to my seat. Only thing Maurice D. Davis got to lose is a council seat at $700 every 2 weeks. But this is what I got to gain. Instead of being a divided state of America, it's time to be the United States of America. Do y'all understand what I'm telling you? I don't want to hear fault. He without sin cast the first stone. We saved under grace. God use whoever he want to. such as times like these. Vice President Pence, the Trump administration, they reached out to me. Our water crisis has been silent. I've been before probably 170 million people in a couple of days. Interviews everywhere, and people accuse me of being selfish. People dying right here and have died. We're tired of suffering and nobody give a damn about poor folks. President Trump, they reached out with nothing but love from y'all all over this nation. I don't want to hear another time I'm a Trump supporter. I'm an American supporter. Y'all have more love. Now, the Democrats call me every name but the child of God. And I'm going to shut up because I got 2 minutes, because much more I could say. But I'll tell you one thing. This nation is one nation under God. One nation under God. Thank y'all for listening. Thank you.
He didn't need 2 minutes. He needed 20 minutes. I could keep listening to that right there. See, it's happening. That is happening across America. The race is on for the big old state of Florida. President Trump and Joe Biden both down there stumping today. Yeah, Joe Biden stumping. We hadn't said that in a while, have we? Stumping Joe Biden. They are holding dueling rallies in Tampa. So the president, he already held his big old, they said the fire department had to spray water on the people. It was so hot out there. An early afternoon rally outside of the stadium where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play. Where was Joe Biden? He was at a socially distanced drive-in rally. You should have seen him. He came out with his coat on, no tie, just a sports coat and a business shirt. And he had his dark glasses as you can even come up with, dark sunglasses. And he had his mask on. And he takes his mask off, talks with his sunglasses on. He literally looked like Weekend at Bernie's. Not a good look. Total Weekend at Bernie's. President Trump yesterday, he drew big, crazy rallies in Arizona. Kamala Harris drew what appeared to be several dozen people to hers. President's campaign in Bullhead City. I loved the video. My mom and dad were there with their friends. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, an Air Force One with the desert background all yellow and the bright and the blue and white of Air Force One. And the president came off and stood at the top of the stairs. What a moment. Kamala Harris had a drive-in rally at Pima Community College, drew approximately 100 cars. At the end of the rally, 30 people left their vehicles and gathered around the stage. Kamala Mala told a reporter she was campaigning in a way that did not risk voters' safety. Florida is going to be a big state. President down there today. The Trump parades in Florida, the boat parades that they had in Miami, not reported on the news and the swamp media out there. It was like 30,000 people had showed up. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest campaign rallies ever.
While Joe Biden spoke to supporters in South Florida, President Trump held a campaign rally in Tampa, going after Biden in personal terms.
Sleepy Joe's a little bit off. Let's face it, Sleepy Joe is shot. And I'm not a fan of his, and he's not a nice guy.
Florida, with its 29 electoral votes, is critical to the president's path to re-election. The president won the Sunshine State by 1.2% over Hillary Clinton 4 years ago.
We don't even know the blowback yet. We'll know in this election of people that are sick of the lockdown, or sick of what it's done to their livelihood, are sick of what has transpired with their kids in school, are sick and tired of hearing,
wear a mask, wash your hands, get tested, stay healthy.
Thank you. We haven't heard his name in a while. Buttigieg. Martha McCallum and Buttigieg. Of course, President Trump and his rallies. What do they call those things? Oh, yeah, super spreaders.
This is a very competitive race, so it may turn out that less is more in this race. We'll see. But it's clearly something that all the strategists will be examining. With regard to the fracking
issue. Yeah, I'm not even sure those visits from Donald Trump are really helping him, though, right? Like, you look at Omaha, he left his supporters out freezing in the cold, which is a great metaphor for how he's treated his supporters more generally across the country. In Arizona, you got a bunch of of people in a rally that has the potential to be a spreader event, which kind of symbolizes his inability to lead us out of this pandemic.
We've heard that line a lot.
I don't think these events are really helping.
And like I said, we'll see whose strategy turns out to be the right one. It may be that in this environment, it's better to do less and stay home more. So we'll see.
That's right. There's Buttigieg. Super spreader events, these super spreader events. We got to get our lives back in order. New claims for unemployment benefits fell to 751,000 the week ending October 24th. That's a decline of 40,000 from the previous week's level. The number's the lowest since March. Airlines, though, see, this is a tsunami, man. It's going to keep rolling in because, see, the airlines got the Paycheck Protection Program, gave them billions of dollars to keep workers on the payroll. Well, that went away at the end of September, and they're laying off thousands of people. Theme parks. They're closed most around the country. Movie theaters, closed. Restaurants, if they're allowed to allow people in, 25%. Think of all the office towers that are empty. Boeing said this week they're going to lay off thousands of workers due to lack of demand for new airplanes. The highest insured unemployment rates go to Hawaii, California, and Nevada. Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. The president on the economy.
This explosive economic growth is four times greater than what the experts expected. They expected a number that would be like 7%, 8%.
He had the economy rolling. We know that. We wondered how they were going to destroy it 7 months into it. We now know. WXYZ-TV in Detroit during the airing of The Bachelorette last night mistakenly aired the 2020 election results. Who won the race for the White House? It's a fake result, but I'll tell you next. And coming up, bottom of the hour, he's got a new book, 50 Things They Do Not Want You to Know About President Trump. He's Breitbart's entertainment director, Jerome Hudson. He's coming up.
The Trevor Carey Show. Power Talk 96.7 AM 1400 and the iHeartRadio app. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Thursday is always the D-Day. You got to make sure you got everything done before the weekend, right? So on my checkoff list, it is get laundry done and grocery shop to make sure I don't have to do it on the weekend because that's not fun. How's a Friday night enjoyable if you're going, I got to go to the store tomorrow. Going out, no more fun. It's not. It's a mask up, nobody looks, nobody talks to anybody. So to do it the 2020 way, I saw my neighbors getting some Vons groceries dropped off, and I thought, okay, I don't have to pull up and have them put it in my trunk at the store. I can have them bring it to my house. I spent about an hour. Vons.com. Little did I know I was on Instacart, which goes in and shops for you at Vons. I searched Vons Fresno delivery and somehow I thought I was on Vons.com. But anyway, I order for me stocking up. It was a couple hundreds of dollars worth of stuff. I got a bunch of big stock up. Wouldn't have to do this for a while. And then I do it all, put my debit card in. Great. Put the time they're going to deliver it. Done. Thank you. Your order's been bing. Get an email. Sorry, your order's been canceled. What? I spent all that time. So this morning I wake up and try and get a hold of Instacart. You can't get an operator unless you're a senior citizen. For seniors only. So the first thing they asked me from the Philippines was, were I a senior? I said, yes, I am. So she talked. Anyhow, the whole thing got canceled, and it was a total waste of time. So it's just, I guess it's just easier. Just stop, pull in, go in, do your thing, and get it rolling. So what a delay. I guess if that's all I got to complain about, I should just shut up because there's some people right now that haven't had a paycheck in a while and even going to the grocery store. They're not worried about having it delivered. They're worried about having the money to pay for this. This has to end. This has to end. Our local elected officials right now are silent. It's time for them to stand up because we are alone in this. We are alone. We going to talk to Jerome Hudson. He's Breitbart's entertainment director. He's got a new book, 50 Things They Don't Want You to Know About Trump. We could probably talk about 500 things. We're not going to get through all 50, but we'll get to some coming up at the bottom of the hour. The president closes his first term. He would have confirmed more judges to the federal judiciary in one term than any recent U.S. president. He's confirmed 218 judges. You know, the Supreme Court, the U.S. Court of Appeals, U.S. District Courts, U.S. Court of International Trade. That number is going to rise to 219. It did with Judge Barrett. 219. No president in the past four decades has appointed more judges in a first term. Only one who appointed more was Jimmy Carter. He appointed 248. We know what they want to do. They want to expand. They want to pack the court if Joe Biden wins. Trump has also appointed 53 appellate judges, leaving no vacancies on that level. Currently, the president's appointed more than one-fourth of the active federal judges. You hear when the president tried to do something with the border wall, with military money, judges would overrule that. You know, Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So the more conservatives we get in there, because right now, Obama's appointees, they account for nearly 40% of the federal bench right now. So the president's going to need a second term if he's going to get a real constitutional, conservative, solid judges in the federal judiciary, as we've seen. So those are good things. And Jerome's going to have a bunch more good things that they don't want you to know about the president of the United States appointing a large number of appellate judges. And these are among the most powerful in the system. That's where the pool of candidates that they go down to pick for the Supreme Court. We'll call it the AAA of judges, you know, Major League Supreme Court. But he's got a deep bench, the president does, and they can draw from that in the future. And new vacancies keep opening up on the federal bench. Currently, there are 64 vacancies, over 7% of the total seats. 40 nominations are still pending in the Senate. A New York Times poll released last week said 58% of likely voters believe the Supreme Court should not be expanded. Sneeze right there, and you didn't hear it. I hit the mute button. It's that time. I guess there's stuff out there. He's laughing at me in there. Boy, if they'd slowed down that COVID sneeze, they would have said, you got to disinfect that entire studio. A majority, 57% of Democrats, agreed with the idea of packing the court. 89% of Republicans opposed it. We did have jobless claims drop to 751,000, better than expected. The president talking about the economy in Florida today.
This explosive economic growth is four times greater than what the experts expected. They expected a number that would be like 7%, 8%.
Yeah, indeed. The economy continuing great growth in the third quarter. As we've seen, much better than expected. But, you know, you still that's why Governor Cuomo wants to lock down New York. That's why Governor Face Mask Gagging Grusin wants to lock down California. California and New York, that's the wheelhouse of the U.S. economy. I mean, California ourselves are the eighth largest economy in the world. If we were a country, we'd be number eight. But we'd probably be number four or five if we had a Republican in Sacramento. Last night in Detroit City, you turned on The Bachelorette on WXYZ TV. Those are good call letters, WXYZ. I hated stations I worked at that had horrible call letters, were so hard to get at. 93KREO. That just did not flow. That was in Santa Rosa. And the program director made us say, giving you the greatest summer of your life. All hit 93KREO. And I said from the back of the meeting, the night guy that would only come in the day for meetings, but what if it's not the best summer of their life? Aren't we going to make them upset? I mean, some guy crying in the car, his girlfriend just dumped him. That was my example. And I said, we're telling him, we're giving him the greatest summer of his life. Who are we to tell that to? Carrie, hush, say it. All right, so I had to say it. But WXYZ, good call letters right there. They accidentally put up the 2020 election results on the left side of the screen. Who won? President Trump. He won. We know why.
I am the chosen one.
He was chosen. In the example, I guess they were practicing, you know, for election night. Some people practice for election night prior, kind of like a rehearsal for it to make sure they had their T's crossed and their I's dotted. But somebody is in charge of that switch that goes from we're practicing to this is live. These are blanks. These are real bullets. You know, oops, Oops. I always say when sound guys, you hire a sound company and the mic doesn't work right, fired. You had one job. Make sure the mic works. What were you doing then? So I would fire that person. I would have sent it like, you don't do that. You got to make sure. But it was an accident, I guess. But anyhow, President Trump won. And we know why.
I am the chosen one.
The 50 things they don't want you to know about Trump. That's a new book. He's Breitbart's entertainment director, Jerome Hudson. And we're going to talk to the man next.
The Trevor Carey Show. Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Trevor Carey on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Well, we know there's been a whole lot of purging of information. You got Twitter in front of the Senate. How many times are you guys going to be called before the Senate before something happens? There's a whole lot that seems like there's some people in America today that don't want some other people in America to know things about. And one of those big things is our president. There's so much they don't want Americans to know about this man. The entertainment editor at Breitbart, Mr. Jerome Hudson, sat down and wrote 50 things they don't want you to know about Trump. Jerome, welcome to the show. Good to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Isn't that true? Isn't this sickening how they, remember they kind of just started, I think, with some more of the fringe, like an Alex Jones purging, and we all said, well, that's not right, but they're not doing it to us right now. Now they are doing it to us. You type in I saw a Breitbart article this week, you type in the exact article into a Google search, and it won't pull it up from Breitbart.
Yeah, I mean, it's the sort of weasel words that they use. I mean, whether you want to call it censorship or suppression, if you are depressing a user's ability on Facebook or Twitter to actually share a story, then yeah, that's suppression of information. I had Alan Bukhari, our senior tech reporter, who wrote an amazing book that came out last month called Delete It. And he agrees that it's going to take FCC Chairman Pai to actually rewrite Section 230, because we know that, you know, Jack Dorsey of Twitter and Mark Zuckerberg are not acting as good faith actors. They flagged the New York Post reporting about the Biden family before the fact-checking entity that Facebook set up to flag the story could actually fact check the story. I mean, they are editors at Facebook. Facebook are the editors of the New York Post. I mean, it's absolutely insane.
Jerome, explain that real quick for those who might not know Section 230 and how the FCC, real briefly, explain what that means.
Yeah, no, Section 230 essentially is a law that came out of the Technology and Communication Reforms of 1996, and essentially what it does is it guards social media platforms, if you will, from being liable if, say, someone films a murder on Facebook. Facebook can't be held accountable for anything someone says if they call for violence against another Facebook user. Facebook can't be held accountable for that. And so the law allows Facebook to delete content and to suppress content. But of course, 1996, there were no social media platforms. And so these corporations are quite literally using this law to suppress information for political reasons. We know it. We've had example after example. They've pushed down the president's search results. Google literally hides Breitbart News stories from its search engine. And Twitter today still has the New York Post's account locked because the New York Post dared to report about the corruption in the Biden family.
The brand new book, 50 Things They Don't Want You to Know About Trump. My guest is Breitbart's entertainment editor, Jerome Hudson. And Jerome, I'd say the number one lie that, you know, President Trump inherited President Obama's economy. You talk about his first month in office and how the economy took off, the big manufacturing boom. We hadn't seen this since the 70s.
No, you're absolutely right. I think everyone still remembers Barack Obama doing that PBS town hall in June of 2016, where he made the cringeworthy joke, you know, how's Donald going to bring the manufacturing jobs back? What is he going to do? Find a magic wand? Well, President Trump found a magic wand. In his first 2 years, he helped create almost a half a million manufacturing jobs. That is compared to the 73,000 manufacturing jobs that were created in the last 2 years of the Obama-Biden administration. We're talking about wages rising for manufacturing workers. You'd have to go back decades before you see the type of gains that occurred under President Trump. And so, you know, we have a political press, Trevor, that is more than willing to give President Trump all of the credit for all of the negative things that have happened in the economy, but they won't hesitate to actually give him credit for any of the good things that happened under his watch. It's just completely intellectually disconnected from reality.
Intellectually disconnected from reality. Good line, Jerome. Disconnected from reality, our foreign policy, a lot of it used to depend on the Middle East and oil and embargoes and OPEC and all of that type of things. And a lot of people out there protesting, you know, the Green New Deal, all the environmental activists out there tweeting and FaceTime, Facebook Living and all this. They don't even understand how much oil has in doing with almost everything they have on, everything they drive, that cell phone they're holding. It's all part of it.
Yeah. I don't know why Joe Biden did it a couple weeks ago on the debate stage, but he went there. He actually said, with his words out of his mouth, that yeah, we're going to transition the American economy away from oil. And as you just pointed out, crude oil and petroleum are just in just about everything, from our medical supplies to our military artillery. But an amazing thing happened, and again, it didn't happen until President Trump was elected. It's not a coincidence. The United States became a net exporter of natural gas. It's something that didn't happen. It hadn't happened since 1958. We also became a net exporter of crude oil and petroleum products. You'd have to go all the way back to 1949 to see that kind of a feat. Why this is important and why it matters is because you're talking about thousands of dollars in savings on energy costs for a family of four. And consumers overall in 1 year, because we are exporting so much energy and selling it around the world, that's a profit to the American people of $200 billion a year. Pointedly, again, I mean, energy and development and extraction, it matters in the all-important state of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, it actually exports more energy to the rest of the country than it as a state uses. And so the president, clearly, the contrast is you're going to have a president who helps expand our energy production, which is very important for national security reasons as well. Joe Biden, well, he wants to, frankly, destroy and do away with the industry.
Yeah, and I'm not a big expert on everything that oil is in, but during this COVID lockdown, I've gotten really bored with everything that's on TV, so I actually watch one of those Discovery Channel or somewhere, How It's Made. You ever watch those things, like how they're made, like how skateboards are made? You can sit there mesmerized by it, like, wow. And when I saw how much oil, petroleum was in our products, everyday products, I was like, get out of here. I had no idea. Everything that I'm looking at around me, computer screens, this board in front of me, these headphones, this microphone, the walls, the door, everything, it has it involved with it. They're out of their minds with this, and those that think they're going along with it would not like the lifestyle that if they went along with the Green New Deal, what it would mean. Jerome, let's switch over here. You know, the Supreme Court with Judge Barrett getting confirmed, all great things, but something that we don't think about as much is the federal judiciary, and what we've seen, especially during this Trump administration and COVID lockdowns, these judges have a lot of power. But President Trump, you know, he'll get four more years after he wins here in 5 days, but it'll have lasting effect even after he's out of office.
No, absolutely. And so a third of the sitting Supreme Court justices are Donald Trump's nominees. I'm not sure if that's ever actually happened, at least in several generations. President always gets hammered and called a misogynist, but one third of his nominees is female. So, Justice Barrett came out of the circuit court ranks, you know, the second highest court in the land, and one in four circuit court judges sitting today have been President Trump's nominees. That's a historic level of appointees on that bench. And this all happened under the president. You're right. He's on pace to break just about every president's record when it comes to appointing judges and justices. And this matters because this is the type of thing that will last long after the President Trump has left office, whether that happens this January or four more Januaries. It's one of those legacy building things, and I think he will be rewarded at the ballot box. There are still, believe it or not, a few Republicans who were on the fence about President Trump, but I do think the ascension of Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court is sort of one of those things that reminds people just how important winning the White House is.
Yeah. In 2016, I might could have seen some Republicans, if they wanted to be on the fence, I'd be like, well, we don't know what this guy's done. I always said candidate Trump, if he could deliver on 50% of his promises, that would be amazing. He's done more than that. 50 things they don't want you to know about Trump, the new book from Breitbart's entertainment editor, Jerome Hudson. There's so much in this. Under Trump, blue-collar workers enjoyed three times the wage growth of the top 1% of households. Median household income reached over $68,000 last year, the highest level on records. There's facts right here at your fingertips that you can use to fight back against a cultural Marxist, whether they're in your family or in your neighborhood or at work. And Jerome, there's not a whole lot of civil discussion anymore about politics. It's really sad that we've seen. But I like to ask individuals, how did you get involved in this with Breitbart? They pull you in from some other area of entertainment?
No, I actually met a man who became a mentor, you know, almost 13, 14 years ago, and his mentor was Dick Workman, President Reagan's chief strategist. And so, you know, my mentor was very close with Peter Schweitzer, my colleague, the author of Clinton Cash and Secret Empires, the book that really started to reveal all of the Biden family corruption. But I
bet you Peter Schweizer is like, all right, what took you guys so long to catch up with me here, right?
You know, he was ahead by 2 years. I worked with Peter at Government Accountability Institute. I started writing and was published about 13 years ago. Met Andrew several times, and I started writing for Breitbart in February 2013, and you know, Here I am.
What a time to be doing it, right? What a time to be doing it. They'll be like, Granddaddy, tell me what it was like back in 2020. Think of the documentaries they're going to watch, right? Going, wow, you guys lived through all that. When you're in the middle of it, you don't really sometimes understand what's going on around you. It's years later you look back and go, wow, we survived, and we're going to survive, and we're going to thrive. Get out and vote. Jerome Hudson, I'm sure the book, unless it's been purged. Where's it not been purged? Where can you get this at?
It is available everywhere. Most people do find it easier to just buy it on Amazon. I have to tell you, Trevor, I mean, people are sending me photos of just the stacks of books that they've ordered, because it's 50 things they don't want you to know, and so they're just dropping them off at the neighbor's house. And like you said, I mean, they're giving them to their friends and their family members. But why wouldn't you want just 50 examples of just the objectively good things the president has done that the press just won't report?
You almost could have put a zero behind that 50, couldn't you?
It's true. But I had deadlines.
had a deadline. Well, I'm sure you're busy today, Jerome. We'll let you get back to work there at Breitbart. Thank you, and we'll talk again soon. And we'll talk to you on the other side. That's what I'm calling it, the other side of November 3rd.
Anytime, Trevor, anytime. Thank you.
50 things they don't want you to know about Trump. I got something you probably didn't know about Donald Trump. Back in 1990, he ripped on CNN and stood up and walked out of an interview. I'll let you hear it next.
The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Coming up after 5 o'clock, Fresno leaders gathered to discuss ways to reduce violence in the city. And also, we have the Police Reform Commission recommendations.
It just doesn't seem to be consequences for actions. And so we have a lot of criminals out now who are pretty brazen to carry guns around freely, because they know they're not going to jail. And then would just being released, even if they get caught with that gun, they're just being released back into the community.
That's Chief Andy Hall. We'll talk more about that coming up after 5 o'clock. I'm going to take you back to Donald J. Trump, the young billionaire in 1990, talking to CNN. But first, I want to play you current day President Trump walking out on 60 Minutes and show you that he was no different in 1990. Same delivery, same style. Voice sounds a little different, but that's different because you age, your voice sounds different. But the video of this, let's play today's version first.
You know, I didn't want to have this kind of anger.
Of course you did.
No, I didn't.
Of course you did.
No, I didn't.
Well, then you brought up a lot of subjects that were inappropriately brought up.
Questions.
They were inappropriately brought up. Right from the beginning. You know, your first question was, this is going to be tough questions. Well,
it is.
When you set up the interview, your first statement
you're
was...
You're president. No, don't you think you should be accountable to the American people?
Your first statement to me, this is going to be tough questions. Well, I don't mind that.
And the president's talking to Leslie Stahl.
But when you set up the interview, you didn't say that. You said, oh, let's have a lovely interview. And here's what I do say.
So why?
You don't ask Joe Biden. I saw your interview with Joe, the interview with Joe
Biden. I never did a Joe Biden.
It was a joke. The interview, 60 Minutes. I see Joe Biden giving softball after softball. I've seen all of his interviews. He's never been asked a question that's hard.
Okay, but forget him for a minute.
No, but you start with me.
You're president.
Excuse me, Leslie, you started with me. Your first statement was, are you ready for tough questions? That's no way to talk. No way to talk.
Leslie, one second. This is the first warning. I think we have 5 minutes until we have the vice president step in. Is that about right?
Well, I think we have enough. We have enough of it.
I think we're ready for the vice president now.
I think we have enough of an interview here. Okay, that's enough. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go meet for 2 seconds, okay? Thanks. I'll see you later. Thanks.
He walked out. He didn't like the questions. He didn't like the attitude. Let's go back to when he was talking to CNN. This is 30 years ago. This is 44-year-old Donald J. Trump.
People say something false. I attack those people. Because the news gets away with murder. The news media, they get away with murder. You're tough in terms of libel laws because the media is so protected, and it's ridiculous that they're so protected, but they can write virtually anything. The difference is, with me, at least they pay some price. And I think more people should have that attitude, and I think you'd find a lot more accurate reporting, including yours.
What was inaccurate so far?
I thought your demeanor was inaccurate. I thought that questions that you were posing to people in my organization were inaccurate and false and unfair.
Well, questions by definition can't be inaccurate. The questions.
Well, I think the questions themselves were put in such a way that made them statements, and they became statements as opposed to questions, and I think that's not good reporting.
Such as?
It doesn't matter. I mean, I don't think your viewers would be very interested in it, nor do I want to embarrass you.
No, I don't think I would be, but let's talk about what we talked about yesterday. Those in the financial community I'm talking about, and we talked about this on the phone, who have said, and this is them saying it, not me.
This is them? What do you mean by them? This is one or two people, and what about the positive people?
Five or six, but the ones who said negative things, and
here we are.
Well, we've got to talk
back
about
to that. Back to the negative.
Back to the negative.
Back to the. You know what? Do this interview with somebody else.
Well, we talked about this yesterday on the phone. This is exactly what we talked about.
Do the interview with somebody else. Really? Yeah. You don't need this. Do it with somebody else. And have a good time. Because frankly, you're a very negative guy, and I think it's very unfair reporting. Good luck.
I disagree with you. Sorry you feel that way. There's nothing that we can discuss on the phone, Donald.
Walk this way. He walked away. He got up and said bye-bye. Same guy, 74 or 44. I bet you if his parents were still alive, they'd say he's the same way at the age of four. Can you imagine like a 14-year-old Donald Trump? Good thing he didn't drink. I've always said that. Can you imagine him on Twitter if he did the Nixon drinks at night, right? Sat down, took his dress shoes off, unloosened his tie, poured back a couple scotches and started on Twitter? Oh, my. Hey, we got a new police reform commission. They want a new citizens oversight board. How much oversight? Oh, my, you're not going to believe. We'll talk about it next right here.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.